He's the Beacon Deacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Good morning, Father. These truths are awesome today. May they encourage us, may they lift us up, and more importantly, may they guide us through these tumultuous times. May we obey you, Jesus. Amen. There's still a lot going on out there, and oddly enough, so here we are, I'm just systematically going through 2 Peter, and wow, what signs of the times and how it fits with what's going on. So today we're going to use our discernment in light of the Scripture to unpack the world as we keep moving forward in Christ, that our hope is in Christ, and what else can I say that is so awesome about this? The Scripture is awesome. So we are in 2 Peter chapter 3, last day scoffers is what Peter's talking about. Peter's an apostle. He walked and talked with Jesus. He got commands from the Lord, and he was commanded by Jesus to feed the sheep. That's the church. With that, he writes two letters. Here's the theme with Christianity. God writes a letter, gives commands through Jesus to the apostles. We hear these commands. We obey these commands. That's what Christians do. That's what Christians do. If someone says they're a Christian yet ignores the Scriptures, only uses the Lord's name as a cuss word, those are bad things. Those are signs that they don't belong to Christ because they're not living for Jesus. But what we want to do today is we are going to dive into this. And I can tell you, this has been exciting stuff, especially considering after today's message and in light of what's going on. I hope this encourages you. So let's dive right into it. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1. Peter says this, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." Peter's after the mind. He wants us to think. He wants us to use our brains. And now 2 Peter verse 3, verse 2 says this, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." That, in a nutshell, is the Bible. That's how the Bible works, right there. That is, verse 2 is a perfect example of the Bible. That's the Bible in a nutshell. The words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, that's your Old Testament, and then the command given by our Lord and Savior, that's Jesus Christ, through the apostles. That's the New Testament. Just like that, in one verse, Peter unpacks the Old and New Testament, the Bible. That's what the framework of the Bible is. The prophets of old, and the prophets were not, you know, they were given commands by God. I can't wait to do this summer series on the Old Testament prophets, because some of these prophets hated being prophets because it meant the world hated them. But they had such compulsion and fire in their bones by the Lord to proclaim the truth. They knew that, here I go again. I'm going to say what the Lord says, and I'm going to get in trouble for it, but here I go. And that's the Old Testament prophets. And then here's the model of the New Testament right here. It's perfect. The command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. That's the New Testament. That's how it works. Peter wants us to know both. Wants us to be able to recall both. Have a grasp in our brains about what it says in the Old Testament and what it says in the New Testament. These are very important. And he goes on to explain why. And of course, I'm going to put a kicker in. If you want to help you get a good grasp of your Old Testament, go to Answers in Genesis. Have that bookmarked on your website from your internet, because that's fabulous resources. And it helps you get a grasp of your Old Testament, especially Genesis. So first of all, now we have verse 3. "First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming?' he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." A couple things I want to point out is this bold, "In the last days scoffers will come." I want you to envision, and I'm trying to work on this, is prophecy tends to be rolling waves of themes. And more than themes, trends is a more appropriate word. There are trends that you look for in the last days, in all the days. Just as John writes, there are many antichrists. There, as it was in the day of Noah, so the coming of the Lord shall be. The same concepts here. In the last days, these trends are increased. I want you to look at it more like waves that are being magnified and increasing, about the scoffing, about the evil desires. And this is just going to increase and increase and increase until the Lord removes the Holy Spirit, which is the restraining force, and this culmination of what the evil patterns have been going through all time will finally get their chance without the hindrance of the Holy Spirit to finally say, aha! And then you'll have one last antichrist, you'll have one last false prophet, you'll have one last round of scoffers, and then the end will come. But it's like these, it's a crescendo of the same trends throughout time that just keep increasing. The devil does not have an original idea. It's the same battle, the same trends since the beginning, culminating. And so,
what?
A scoffer, that's someone going, yeah, your Lord's coming, you follow Jesus, where is this Jesus? Didn't you say he was going to come back? It's 2,000 years later, where's your Lord, huh? That's a scoffer, in amplified form.
That makes sense.
So, good question. Verse 5, but they deliberately forget, that long ago, by God's word, I want you to hang your hat on that, God's word, because it's mentioned again in just a few verses. Remember that, God's word. They deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Let's take a look at that over in Genesis. Oh, I didn't put it there. Wait a minute. I went to deliberately forget. Yes, let's spend our time deliberately forgetting for a moment. Here it is, deliberately forgetting, Romans chapter 1:18. Now here's something very interesting in the trend of the United States. Listen, if the United States falls because of immorality, that doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world and Jesus is coming. United States of America is not the world, all right? We are not the nation that determines the end of the world. But America can fall easily enough and the world can continue without the United States of America. So I am no way saying that because America is going this way, thus it is the end. All right? Because America is not the center of the world. Israel is. Not America. Deliberately forgetting. God released. When you deliberately forget, here's the pattern. And here's the scary, scary, scary pattern. And the United States is doing an amazing job exemplifying it. Clear, clear as day. Here it is. When you deliberately forget God, God releases you to your evil. Releases you. Oh, you want to be evil? Go. Be evil. Die in your sins. The most terrifying thing is for God to release you. Here it is in Romans 1, verses 18 through 23. The wrath of God. There's a connection there. When God releases you, His wrath has begun. You see, folks, in this world, you know, for people who are going to heaven, this is as close to hell as we're going to get. For people who are going to hell, this is as close to heaven as they're going to get. Now, what happens here is when the Lord releases you, He is unleashing His wrath. This is the beginning of His wrath. He lets you go into your evil completely. Your wrath has begun. I don't know if that means a person can be saved after God has released you into that. In this side, I know there's still time, but I also know how God's sovereign will works in the sense that God told us how His sovereign will works. But here we are. It's in verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed. So this is a present tense. This isn't in the future. This is now. From heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men, here's the deliberately forgetting, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's their motive. They clearly know God is God, but because they hate God and love evil, they are suppressing the truth. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. because God has made it plain to them. So that evolutionary scientist or your evolutionary science teacher or anyone who believes in evolution of any stretch at any moment is deliberately denying what is plain, that God made it. And God made it by His Word. And He made it in very quick time and not long ago. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, that alone, creation, destroys evolution, period. God did not use evolution to create because there is no law of evolution in creation. God created the world from since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities. Now here's the kicker, here we go. We are talking about people not only see creation and know God, but because of creation, they can know God's character or parts of His attributes. His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Anybody can look at any part of creation and know there's an amazing God. That's science. That's observational science. That's the empirical law right there from beginning to end. Anyone who denies that, rejects all reason and delves into the realm of evil. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. I remember one time when we were in Israel, they took us to a tell, which is an ancient city, you know, and they had an altar, and on the altar was a rock, the standing stone, they call it. They were so pathetic to hate God and worship created things, they would literally take a rock that was squarish and stand it up, and they'd call it a standing stone. And that was what they worshipped. Come on! At least carve it into something! No, they took a rock! You are our God! Alright, that's really bad. Really bad. There we go. I mean, it's pathetic. Now, here we go. There's three times in Romans 1, because people deliberately forget, God gives them over. Now, this is the wrath of God. If you hear a preacher say, God's going to punish America because of an increase of homosexuality, they're wrong. They're still a day late, a dollar short. Here's the reality. Hold on to this. The wrath of God is when He gives us over. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts for sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and reserved created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You see that first part? He gives them over to their sinful desires for sexual impurity and the degrading of their bodies with one another. And they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things. Again, boy, didn't we just celebrate Earth Day? That's a pagan holiday, celebrating the Earth as their goddess. Again, in verse 26 of Romans, God says it again. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way that the men were also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. All right, that is clear as day. And our president the other week just said, forget what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, we condone it. We think it's wonderful. And this morning, that clip is from this morning on Fox News. The NAACP announces support of gay marriage. Wow. We are talking wow. God is clearly drawing the line. Wow! What is going on? Did any of these people ever think of turning to Romans 1? That obscure text, why would I look at God? Why would we agree with God? Yikes! Yeah, but that came right out today. I cut and pasted out this morning's headlines. Yeah, he's keeping quiet. He ain't quoting the Bible. And then the third time in Romans 28, God gave them over. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And now listen how this explodes. Evil just explodes. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decrees, and they do, everybody knows in their heart, that's why they're so rebelling so hard, that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of them, approve of those who practice them. Wow. I mean, I get excited because God's word is clear. We can get depressed with the world, or you can get excited that God is clearly telling us how to live, and his truths are just exploding out there in the world. He is drawing the line so clear, and we can have confidence in our Creator. Now back to this word of God. Here's what God did in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 6, 1 and 7. God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. That's Genesis chapter 1, 6 and 7. See, God by his word created these things. Now we come back to 2 Peter verse 6. But these waters also, the world of the time was deluged or by these waters. Also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. The Lord brings, in Genesis 7, the Lord brings a global flood. God saw an evil world. He wiped it out with water. He created the world by water. He wiped out the world by water in those days and saved Noah. Are you following me? God's not impressed with evil. And by the same word, remember how I said, remember, by the word, God's spoken word in verse 7? It says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And in verse 8, but do not forget this. Oh wait, I'm not going to go any further yet. God destroyed the world once with water. He's going to destroy the world and the heavens one more time by fire. That's the next ending. That's the final ending. That's the closing act. That's the end of the story. That's how it ends. In the past, preachers like to say that's nuclear explosions. Nah, you got to read Revelations a little better. A nuclear explosion's not big enough. When God says he can cook something by fire, he can certainly cook something by fire. And his own fire is more than powerful enough. I'm sure nuclear bombs will go off in the last days, before and after and during, but that's not it. God's fire is going to be incredible, and it's going to burn it all up. So it's way beyond nuclear explosions. This is big stuff. Now, here's where I want to unpack verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Now, many people like to use that to reinterpret Genesis 1 so then they can take the pseudoscience of evolution and shoehorn it in there. Nah, see? 1,000 days. Well, did Jonah, how long did Jonah stay in the whale? It says in the Bible 3 days. Does that mean 3,000 years Jonah was in the belly of a whale? Because if we interpret Genesis 1 that way, why not interpret Jonah that way? Or what about when they marched around Jericho for 7 days? Did they march around Jericho for 7,000 years before the walls fell? That would be accurate! You think it's 7,000 years the walls would finally fall, and then somebody's going to shout, and then no one will be around. And it's not. And plus, of course, with Genesis chapter 1, each time it's mentioned day, it's bookmarked with there was a morning and there was an evening. Okay, so beyond any shadow of a doubt, Genesis 1 means one day. So what about this? What are we talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day? Let's take a look at the next verse. Maybe we'll get a clue there. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping with his promises. As some understand slowness, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's all about God's patience. I am very glad the Lord waited 2,000 years for me to be born and then I could come to know him as Lord and Savior. I'm very thankful for that patience. And I hope he's patient another 1,000 years, whether America comes or goes, but that the next generations of his elect would be revealed. Do you understand? That's what we're talking about. When it's talking about how God perceives time, God is timeless, and he's talking about his patience. That's an easy one. Now, let's take a look at Jesus. Jesus prophesies about the end times too. Yeah, Jesus is... Hold on to this one. This one lines up right with today, too. This one drives a clear line, wham, right through the trees and clears it all for us. Watch this. Matthew chapter 24, 21 and through 24. For then, there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. In those days... If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform many great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Let's keep rolling. And he goes on from 24 to 27. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out. Or, here he is, in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. All right. Now, just so happens, 600 years after Jesus said this, Muhammad comes on the scene, says he's the last prophet, and begins a monotheistic cult/religion called Islam. 600 years after Jesus said, I'm the last one. If anyone else claims the other way, they're wrong. And what is in the book of the Quran, first thing they do is deny Jesus is the Christ. They got to go after the Christ. They always got to go after the Christ. 2,000 years later, Joseph Smith comes on the scene, claims he spoke with Jesus, was given the ordination as a priest in the order of Melchizedek, which means Christhood, because Jesus was the last priest in the order of Melchizedek. And the Mormons begin! 2,000 years after Jesus said, don't listen to them, they're bad. Now, just last week, good old Mitt Romney was the key speaker at Liberty University. What were they thinking? That's evil! The man belongs to a cult! And he went up there and says, we might have some differences, but hey, we're together. Is basically what his message was. No, we're not. Mormons follow an antichrist. And they are evil. Make no mistake of it. And make sure you tell your friends that. I'm not saying who to vote for. And it has nothing to do with that because I think this is going to be one of those hold the nose at the polls type of years. But that's the reality of it. Jesus said, see, I have told you ahead of time. But do you see how clearly God just, when we study our scripture, how clearly things come to light, just, oh, this ain't rocket science. This ain't difficult. What we see in the news is very clearly unpacked when we know and read our Bibles. It's really, really that easy. God made it that easy so that we could easily follow him and not be deceived. So if you know folks who are struggling and they just don't understand, if they're Christians, one, you're not reading your Bible enough. Thankfully, there's a yell of the Holy Spirit still going, something's wrong! You better listen! Two, pick up your Bible and start to study. For the non-believers, they're going, woohoo, this is great! And they just run forward to damnation. That's what they're doing. 2 Peter 3:10 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. See, there's no mistaking when the end times come. And matter of fact, the Lord gave through John the book of Revelation so we can read the last chapter. We know what's going to happen. We know how it's going to happen. So we don't have to be surprised. And if you're like me, a pre-trib, what do you call it when we all get raptured, pre-trib rapture person like me, thankfully that'll be good because we'll be doing our thing and we're gone. Yay. Amen. Woo. All over. Yeah. Superman. All right. Verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. That means holy, set apart, godly, follow Jesus. Now 2 Peter 3:12 says this, as you look forward for the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destructions of heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. See, we're not looking forward to the destruction of things. I'm not looking forward to seeing the pain and suffering and destruction that's going to happen. And all these deceived people who thought they were sincere, and they are sincere, never trust whether something is right or wrong based on somebody's sincerity. Never, ever do that. Sincerity is not goodness or righteousness. But we're to look forward beyond it to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And now let's take a look. Revelations 21 tells us about this. In Revelations 21, 1, John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's what the Christian looks forward to, beyond this time, to where it's really at. So, I need to preface something, because we're going to go deeper, because Revelation gives us a strict warning, 1 Corinthians gives us a strict warning, and then there's hope. But first, you need to know this. This is the only way you're going to fight the world today. And we've got to be careful because old school would say, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to suggest you say it this way because this more hits the heart better. If we say, just says the Lord, nobody trusts that our interpretation of thus says the Lord is the right one. Because too many preachers in the past had said, don't look at the Bible, just says the Lord. Why are you doing that? Just says the Lord. Why should men wear pants? Just says the Lord. Why should women wear dresses? Just says the Lord. And they're going to throw that at you, so you got to be careful. Here's what I suggest, is you do these three. You've heard me say it again. Trust me, you need to know this, because to fight the way the people are proclaiming homosexuality is okay, and then they tell you, you bullies, you don't have the right to say homosexuality is bad. You need to be able to preface it with this. You need to practice this. You need to know this. You need to memorize this. This needs to be a karate move. You need to know this. You start with this. Hey, my opinion doesn't matter. I can't judge you. Your opinion doesn't matter. You don't make the rules of right or wrong. God's opinion is all that matters. Because if my opinion doesn't matter, they're going to say, you're right, it doesn't! And then you can say, but guess what? Your opinion doesn't matter either. You can't force your living light, your rules on me either. You're imposing your values on me to say a blatant sin is good. You're imposing your values on me. That's wrong. That's intolerant. But what does God say? What God says is right or wrong. And you know what? You don't have to take my word for it. Look at it for yourself. Right? So you got to always preface it with that. Because they're going to say, and they're going to cry and moan and wail and complain, and oh, you intolerant Christians. No, intolerant God. All right? I'm just going to believe what God says, and you would do well to also. Revelations 21:8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral. Stop right there. That's any sex outside the marriage of a husband and wife. Any sex outside of marriage of a husband and wife is bad. Bad. Can you dig it? Sexually immoral. All of it's bad. All of it. Those who practice magic arts. Boy, isn't that on the increase nowadays. The idolaters. That's anything that's... A lot of your friends and family have an idol. They don't have a real God. They don't have a little trophy or something in their house that's their idol. Their idol is they made up a God who loves them anyway, who's just going to hug them and cuddle them and say, good job, you did okay, you were sincere. No, that's very scary. God drew the line in the sand, and here it is. No, the idolaters and all liars will have their place in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Hello? Do they want to go? Why does anyone want to go to the fiery lake of burning sulfur for eternity? That stinks, right? Who wants to do that? Now here it is, 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 says this, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians, Revelation, Jesus himself said in the beginning, God made man and woman, and he was talking about divorce. The whole assumption was man and woman and what that's all about. Because these other sins were given. So Jesus says, man and woman, marriage, that's the way it's designed. And then Revelation warns us, and by the way, this is Jesus telling John to say that. So, hello, even Jesus says in Revelation what's going to happen. And then we have 1 Corinthians where Paul's writing, and Peter already vouched that the apostles are only sharing what Jesus, our Lord and Savior, commanded us. So these commands come from Jesus too. So we can't just say Paul wrote it. All right? So these are strict warnings. But with that comes an amazing hope. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, and now that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Washed, sanctified, justified. Now I'm just going to have to jump into the gospel message just for a moment. Romans 3:21, but now a righteousness of God has been, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets even testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. So when you talk to your homosexual friends and those folks who are pushing for them and telling them to live their life of destruction and fly into hell, you can say, wait, God wants to justify you freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Turn, repent, come back to God, live for Jesus, let Jesus love you. God presented him, Jesus, a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this by to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, there's that patience. forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. That's a lot, but that's the gospel. People, that's what they were. We were all sinners. We were all condemned. We were all objects of wrath. And through the sanctifying work of Jesus going to the cross on our behalf, we can belong to Christ. That's the gospel message. People need to hear that. So Peter even mentions Paul. We're coming to an end now. Hang in there with me. 2 Peter 3:14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. That's God. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Isn't that neat? The apostles are confirming each other and affirming each other in their writings and their doctrines. And in verse 16, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Even Peter saying, Paul is deep, dude! Paul is deep! And freaky people can't understand it, which ignorant and unstable people distort, and they do to other scriptures to their own destruction. Those ministers that don't seem to know that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and the life, and who do this prosperity gospels, those are those unstable and ignorant people. And they do it to their own destruction. So here it is, the last three verses, and then I'm done. And we'll be done even early, so hang with me. Here we are. Chapter 3, 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Now, I'm putting up here the ESV version, because usually I do NIV, but the ESV, I didn't like the NIV's translation, not because it's my opinion, but because by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. You know, you might be carried away by lawless men and fall from your secure position. That's an impossible statement. You can't fall from your secure position. So I knew that was already wrong, so I looked at the concordance. Concordance says more of what ESV says, which is, watch out, you know, that you're not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your stability. And I think more Christians struggle with that, you know, they're going along and a wacky preacher comes along, or they watch a TV preacher who's wacky, and all of a sudden it's you're like a Weeble Wobble. Anyone remember the Weeble Wobble toys? Right? They don't fall down. Right. And that's what happens to Christians when they listen to lawless men, is they're just going, pring, pring. It's like the guy in the boxing ring who just won't fall, but he's not exactly throwing any punches back because he's barely standing. That's more of what we're talking about, because even Jesus said that the evil would come to deceive even the elect if it were possible. It's not possible to steal God's elect. So, and then verse 18... Here's his last verse, is the concluding thought of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's our hope. I can tell you, I mean, I was getting chills when I was finishing up this sermon and looking at just the freakiness of what's going on in America and the clear teaching. You know, 2,000 plus years later, Peter's writing this and it's spot on, timely. We need to hear this now. We need to share it now. We need to know it. We need to know our Savior. We need to know how to read our Old Testament. We need to know how to read our New Testament. And we need to rock it for Jesus. What do you think? So we're going to respond with a hymn, which is awesome, in our way to worship God. And then we're done. Let me pray for you. All right, Jesus. Protect these saints May they trust in your word. May your knowledge shelter their minds as they see the crud on TV and get excited that, wow, Lord, you are unpacking this. You are clearing the way with your truths for the saints of God. So as we once again come to you with worship after hearing your clear teaching, may we just give our hearts to you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
There's some food for thought. Please visit thespeakingdeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakingdeacon.com. Truth is here.